Are you ready to hear good news? Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, do not be weary in doing what is right. And in Luke's gospel, Jesus says, this will give you an opportunity to testify. He also says, I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. He also says, not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls. I pulled out these lines from today's readings because the scriptures appointed for today are rife with threat and dread. More words are spent on admonition and warning than on anything else. We can resonate with these words at times like this, when people are hungry and healthcare breaks the bank and violence is done first and explained later. We can read these words and feel overwhelmed, certain that it's all falling apart and we will be crushed under the rubble. I'm reminded of a time in my life when I answered the question, how was your day? With these words. Well, everything I believed was destroyed. Jesus is predicting the destruction of the temple in today's gospel. The temple ties together the confidence in God's sovereignty as well as certainty of place for the Jewish people. In a sense, Jesus is saying that everything they believe in will be destroyed. It brings to their attention the question, if the temple falls, then who is God and who are we? I feel like one of the side effects of the year 2020 was that people's faith was destroyed. Where is God when stuff like the COVID pandemic and systemic racism attack life so violently? Where is God? Where is God when we are fighting with each other and see the person with the opposing view as the enemy? Where is God and who are we? Even when the church changes, people's faith can be fractured or threatened or destroyed. Last week, we did worship in the way that the first Anglicans in Ridgefield would have done, and I don't know about you, but I was disoriented. I was exhausted after last Sunday's service. I hadn't realized how much I have internalized the rhythm of the service when we gather together for Eucharist. And maybe you felt that way too. It's interesting because the words are the same that we've been praying for centuries. They were reordered over time from 1662 or to our ancestors here in 1725. But they remained the same all the way up until the Book of Common Prayer revision in 1979. In fact, maybe you recognize some of those words if you've been in the Episcopal Church for a long time. You might have said, oh, right, this is how you say it. It's interesting, in the general conventions of our church, which happen every 3 years, leading up to that prayer book revision, there were differences of opinions, but there was a certainty on both sides of clergy and lay that something needed to change. The clergy said, we need to have a prayer book revision. And the lay people said, The lay people said, we need women in leadership, including ordained leadership. And the clergy said, what? Jesus was a man. We made it through. We saw our way through that. But I bring these things up to illustrate that we can make idols even out of the things of faith. Spiritual teachers throughout the ages have noticed something in the faith journey of each of us that is so consistent that they have taught it to the next generation. And it is this. On our faith journey, there are times when God removes the warm sense of God's presence from a thing which conveyed God's presence so vividly to us. For example, you show up for prayer, a prayer time which has been a wonderful habit in your life, a reminder that God is real and loving, and unexpectedly you don't feel God's presence anymore. What happened? You can feel, perhaps, that the holy temple has been destroyed. In the spiritual journey, the spiritual dimension of life, we come to a point, time and again, where the God that was so present and made so much sense has suddenly grown distant and confusing. God doesn't work anymore. This is heartbreaking. That's what I felt in college when I experienced that everything that I believed in was destroyed. We can then wonder if we're pursuing the wrong thing, if we were sold a bill of goods, if we were bamboozled because of our own longing for an intimate relationship with eternal, life-giving, gracious love. We want that at the very core of our being. So what happens when we can't feel it? When we can't feel it, it is God's way of weaning us from our idolatry and faith. We can become so intimate with God in particular practices that we assume that we have a full understanding of who God is. We start to take the God that we know for granted, relaxed in our own confident way of knowing, settled in our own relationship. Without even realizing it, we have created parameters, boundaries of who God is, and God needs to disavow us of our certainty of God's parameters. God is bigger. God is bigger. God is bigger. Without a community of faith to sustain us, to hold us together in our weariness and doubt, we can give up. When our faith in God falters, we conclude that it's God's fault. God didn't show up as God always did before. God didn't come through. So we pull back. We let go. We give up, at least a little bit. We decide not to want from God so much. Or sometimes we rush to find another place which will give us that blessed assurance, that feeling of consistency. But God is bigger, encompassing the weariness. God is bigger, present in the confusion. God is bigger, permeating time and space to show up in your moment of need in ways you don't expect. We are hindered in our spiritual growth because, as Teresa of Avila describes it, reason has not yet been conquered by love. In the season of giving, when we ask you to make a financial commitment to our ministry together in 2026, we are inviting you into growing in your ability to let reason be conquered by love. Reason says, I only have so much to give. Love says, God has given me everything. How much do I need to keep back for myself? Because I want my life to demonstrate that God gives me and everyone everything we need to live. When I had my first crisis of faith, I was blessed that I had a religion class to show up for with readings for homework and class discussion. This saw me through. I was in community with faithful people who could carry me along, who recognized what I was going through and told me not to lose heart, to show up and bring whatever trust I had cultivated and not worry about the rest. Because God knows me. God knows you. Even every hair on your head. That's love. And love is bigger than you think. Love will see you through. Love will see us through. It was true then. It is true now. No matter what is destroyed, love never ends. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.